coming to you from the HagmanReport.com studio, located in the Keystone State, birthplace of a mighty nation. It's your host, Doug Hagman.
Welcome to Hagman. This is Hagman for today. It is Friday. It is the 24th day of September 2021. Just, hey, folks have been watching this, of course, the audit in Maricopa County. It's shown that the audit has had, or the Maricopa County had more than enough voter fraud to for the state legislature to decertify the election. As simple as that. What else? You know, I mean, look, so did Pennsylvania, in my view. No audits yet. So did all of the swing states had enough votes to overturn this election. If you think that Mr. Marbles won this election, well, you're either engaged in normalcy bias or willful ignorance. And if you think, for example, that this vax passport is the answer to getting back to normal, again, what is it? Willful ignorance or normalcy bias? And is there a difference? Here to talk about this and more is Dr. Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Go there. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. Look, hey, you know what? Right now, okay, listen to me. Pull up a chair. If you're driving, slow down a minute, all right? And just put your ear to the speaker. No, not if you're driving. Say what? Oh, yes, my DeLorean, as we were talking about earlier. Not my DeLorean. I don't have one, but nonetheless, put your ear up. If you're driving the DeLorean, just take a listen. And even if you're not, which you're probably not, still listen. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. That's the key to your health, your vitality. You know, it's one thing to be healthy. It's another thing to be vibrant, vibrantly healthy. And I found the difference in the Health Masters. All right. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. And you know, sometimes I kind of drift off in mental thought or in thought. What? Physical thought? No, mental thought. Yeah. I drift off. And, attention factor. What a great product. I just want to mention that because that's one of my favorite products. And that really kind of keeps you key and keep you focused on things. Products of the week. But, you know, look what they have. Immune support. Support your immune system. With all this, these bugs going on out there. Support your immune system. Support your own health. You are responsible for your own health. I'm not. I can't help you except to direct you to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Doug5, I believe, might be the coupon code. If not, well, so deal with it. But if it is, great. DOUG and the number 5. And I'm being serious about this now. Their products are fantastic. The top of the line products. And if you can get certain products on sale through Doug5 coupon code, that'd be great. But if not, still order, and that's healthmasters.com. And also, while you're there, listen to the Premier Father Son Investigative Reporting Informational Download Hour on the internet. Just go on the right hand side, click the blue link to the radio program, and you can listen to Ted and Austin Brower, and listen to the archives. Dig down for the archives. And it's really a great show. So, information download. All right. So without further ado, Ted Brower, healthmasters.com. And the question at hand, is it normalcy bias or is it willful ignorance of people? Or is there a difference? Ted, how you doing?
Hey, Doug, I'm doing great. You know, it's so funny because, you know, Harrison, my youngest son, is in his third year of law school at Florida State. And he's got a few more months and he's done. And so today we were discussing normalcy bias, and he started saying to me, well, Dad, is it naivety? Is it normalcy bias? Is it being an optimist, or is it willful ignorance? And, you know, I want to add a couple more things to that list. Normalcy bias, willful ignorance. Are you naive, or are you just stupid? I hate to say that because that's like, you know, you really can't understand stuff. Or are you basically ignorant, which means you're just simply not educated, or are you simply an optimist? You know, an optimist will say to you, the hotel room's on fire. Let's get out so we can live. Pessimist says, hotel room's on fire. Let's try to get out because we're going to die. All right. So you've got to look at what's going on and who these people are, and what they believe, and how the United States demographic spreads out as far as what percentage of each of these groups are available in the United States today. Let me give you a perfect example. years and years and years ago, close to 50 years ago now, 46 years ago or whatever it was, I had a friend of mine in college. I met her in a German class. Well, you know, we're both in our 60s now. She's a grandmother. She's got a great husband and great grandkids and great children. And, you know, I'm a granddad now with grandchildren, and I'm a grandfather with a great wife, and I've been married for 38 years almost. And we ran into each other via a tree service here locally that was basically her cousin. And so I actually got back in touch with her, and she's come by the house to our birthday parties, and she's hung out with me and Sharon, and she's a really good friend. I really like her. Not going to use any names because I don't want to offend her in case she hears this particular show. And she listened to our show like completely all the time for, you know, a year. And then all the stuff happened with COVID, and she started listening to the show, and then we started talking about the vaccine and how it was basically a kill shot, not a true vaccine. And we started talking about the nanotubules in it that pretty much Charles Lieber put together through DARPA and through the information that he had from his dad and also from Harvard, and how these nanotubules are built out of graphene oxide, and how you're going to have a huge percentage of people die from the shots, and how they cause antibody, you know, dependent enhancement, and all this other stuff that we talk about all the time. And all of a sudden, you know, she texted me about one day about something, and I said, well, you're still not taking the shot, right? She goes, oh, no, I've already had the shot, and I've already had the booster. Now, hence, we're going to talk about this right now. Okay. And then she said to me, she goes, I want you to pray for me that the shot doesn't kill me. And I said to her,
the irony.
No. This is, I'm not making this. Sometimes you think you want to make stuff up, but my life is so, I should say, colorful to make anything up. And I said to her, I said, I don't know how to pray that. She goes, what do you mean? And I said, how do you willfully do something that you know is wrong, that could possibly kill you, and then ask God to suspend judgment and not allow you to die, though you did it to yourself on purpose? It's kind of like stepping out in front of a semi-truck at 70 miles an hour and saying, I don't believe that I'm going to die right now, and giving that semi-truck about 6 inches to stop, and you're going to find yourself probably, if you're a Christian, sitting in heaven with God shaking his head and going to say, what the heck? What's wrong with you? Why did you just do that? And yet you're going, but I didn't think I would die. And I said, let's talk about this. And so what I did with her is I said to her, I said, I don't know how to pray for you. She texted me back, what do you mean? You know, you pray all the time. And I said, you'll need to write the prayer, and I'll pray whatever you want me to pray over you, because I don't know how to pray. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. What do you do with somebody that you know knows the truth, but they do what they know they shouldn't do regardless of the consequences?
But hold that thought. Let me give you another subset of that, if you don't mind.
I'd love to.
Okay, so these are we're talking about people, and perhaps two people who have taken this injection, which they call a vaccine, which it's not. Now, I believe there is a subset here who have taken it in good faith, thinking, okay, I can trust, you know, I did my research, and the research was limited to, you know, the scientific, in quotation marks, evidence pushed by the algorithms on the internet, as opposed to the real research with people like you've done. So they took it, and then they were confronted with the real evidence, and it's like, whoops, okay, wait a minute, I made a terrible, horrible mistake. It's kind of like having that regret when you jump off the 40th floor of a building, and you're thinking in that fall, hey, you know, man, I think I might have made the wrong decision. What do you do? Not much, except, you know, brace for impact. So go ahead, sir.
You know what's up? No, we're here. I turned it off so I wouldn't be huffing and puffing, and you guys wouldn't hear my mic. Okay, let's break this down. Normalcy bias. You want to believe the United States, or the lifestyle that we've had here in the United States, is going to continue forever, and it's going to go back to the way it was with Norman Rockwell's America, Saturday Evening Post. And we've got all these beautiful paintings and drawings that Norman Rockwell did, and they put on the Saturday Evening Post, which are still collector items today, of what the ideal is in America today. Now, whether Norman Rockwell was true or not, I don't know. This is back in the 30s and the 40s. I was born in the 50s. And we didn't have a Norman Rockwell America in the 50s. Just thought I'd mention that. But it was still pretty close. You could still leave your house and not lock your doors. We could still basically go down the driveway and go down the road and go play touch or tackle football with the neighbors and not worry about being abducted and sold to a child sex trafficking ring. Okay. We had a lot of people still Christians. The Catholic Church still had a lot of power in the United States. Protestantism had a lot of power in the United States. And TV was the amazing Talking Mr. Ed and Hogan's Heroes and I Dream of Jeannie. Okay. And so we were all like pretty naive at that point in our lives. And we didn't have all of these crazy special interest groups trying to push special rights. And that's normalcy bias. I want Andy of Mayberry back. And I wanted to go back now. Okay. That's normalcy bias. Now, we're going to have naivety. You basically are, you know, believing that it's going to be okay. And you're naive and you believe the federal government is doing what they need to do. And you really don't know any difference. And then you got the people that are just unable to create concrete rational thoughts. Okay. These are the people that they brought in from, how should I say, Somalia into Germany. And the average IQ score, I think, was a 56. And they didn't know how to flush toilets. And they never had seen a toilet before. And it doesn't matter how much they tried to train them at the factories at BMW and Mercedes. They could not run complex machinery because they simply didn't have the IQ points or the reasoning skills to do that. Those people at this point get a pass. They really can't help it. These are the people who have Down syndrome, the people that have really bad brain damage or they've been damaged from vaccines or whatever. But they're going to have to get a pass. They always get a pass because they can't be made to understand what's happening to them. They can't. There's no way about that. Then you have the ignorant. Now, these are the people that are not stupid, but they're just, how should I say, they're not well-read. You know, they don't know what a semi-permeable membrane is. They don't know what graphene oxide is. They don't know what a self-assembling nanobot is. But they have the ability to learn if you give them the literature. And then you have the optimists that no matter what happens, they're always going to be happy, happy, regardless. I've got a friend of mine right now, and he's in the hospital. And short of a miracle, he will die. And you think, well, that's an awful thing to say. Well, it's just is what it is. Now, his wife, every time you talk to her and you say to her, this is terrible. We've got 1 in 32 children now with autism in the United States because of the danger of vaccines and the mercury and the fetal cells and all the stuff that's in a vaccine and is causing all of this brain damage. She pulls a Kamala Harris and she starts laughing hysterically like a hyena. And you go, we're talking about brain damaged children with autism. Why are you laughing? Well, I just think it's funny. And I don't think it's true. You go, okay. Well, then you give her another version. You say, well, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, a third of the people are going to die or whatever's going to happen when this occurs. And she starts laughing. And she says, well, I hope it happens quick and I'm not going to be around. It's a joke. Everything's a joke. And you start realizing that it doesn't matter what you try to do with that person, that they're being willfully ignorant. This is beyond being optimistic. It's beyond normalcy bias. They don't want to know the truth. They're being willfully ignorant. Let me give you a perfect example. In my own family, I'm not going to mention any names. We had a man had a child, and the child got involved with drugs, and the man refused to see the fact that the child was on drugs. Refused. Absolutely, completely refused. It was Sharon's, my wife's brother, was on the drugs. And I tried to tell, you know, Sharon's dad all the time, he's on drugs, he's on drugs, he's on drugs. Nothing. Willfully ignorant. He's an optimist, but he's also being willfully ignorant because he doesn't believe that it's going to be what he thinks it's going to be as far as bad if it happens. So therefore we have to think good all the time. Now, another thing happens to parents, and this is really important that we understand this. And it also happens to people that have been married and divorced or have raised children or whatever, is you look back in your life and you have regret. What if I'd have done this? I should have done this. I could have done this. And so what you do, let's take a child, for instance. You know, you have a child that you do everything you possibly can for, and that child basically doesn't want to listen. And so you're always talking to the child, and you're always saying, well, I should have done this, and I would have done this, and I could have done this. And all of a sudden, the child starts to realize that you're now having a dissociation. You've created a fantasy child in your mind that doesn't exist, that would have, should have, and could have created. Well, the child doesn't see that as any form of reality. And see, this is what my father-in-law did. You know, this kid basically was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This kid, always, always, always what he could have and should have and would have been. you know, this man had done what he should have and would have and could have done. Yeah, but he could never accept that.
I'll bet you that he was the smartest person, the smartest young man that he ever knew. I'm paraphrasing, of course, Mr. Marvel's Joe Biden.
I will say that this kid was a National Merit Scholarship recipient. And he had a genius IQ. I will say that unlike Mr. Marbles and this Hunter Biden who likes to rape little girls, this kid really was smart. But it didn't matter. Academically smart doesn't mean you got any kind of reasoning skills. And this is what we have in life, isn't it? We're always having the wouldas and the shouldas and the couldas. Now, I did all of this to discuss with you something I'm going to discuss with you about a guy by the name of Charles Lieber who developed the nanotechnology and the self-assembling nanobots from the graphene oxide that's in the kill shots, because nobody wants to look at this. Now, why do I bring this up? I bring it up because the only person that we should hold on a pedestal is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith, Christ Jesus. God Almighty, who's omnipresent. Let me explain to you what that means in the way I understand it. He says, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. Okay? So when God looks down at our earth, he doesn't see it as 2021, he sees everything at the same time. He's outside of time space. So when he sees it happening, like in the book of Revelation, when he tells John on the Isle of Patmos to write this down, because this is what's happening right now in my world, John on the Isle of Patmos writes down and says, hey, we're going to have a mark of a beast, 666, can't buy, sell, or trade. Write it down, John, because I see it happening in 2021, 2025. So John writes it down. So suddenly we come up to this timeline and God goes, yep, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. So God sees the timeline and he realizes that there's issues in the timeline. He basically does what he does with Noah and he also does what he does with Jesus and he basically changes the timeline. But again, the fallen angels, a third of which were thrown out of heaven with their attempted coup d'etat on God Almighty, the great I am, come back in and they're before the flood and after the flood with Noah. They start doing their same junk again with all of the fallen angels and all of the worship of Baal and Asherah and Moloch. So these things can have entities, these entities can eat from the sacrifice of these children and these people and these ancient Canaanite religions and ancient Egyptian religions. And God says, okay, that's just awful. Let's go ahead and put somebody else in the timeline. So he puts himself in via Jesus Christ, the exact representation of God Almighty, to deliver us from the evil one who's doing all of this mischief and these horrible, crazy things. Okay. Well, for 2,000 years, we've had the ability now to live in a world that we don't have idolatry on the street corners. We may have hookers on the street corners, but we don't have idolatry in that we don't have places that they're sacrificing humans in the backyard, and we're all having to watch this in giant congregations and aggregations of people getting together and saying, hey, look at this. We're killing 500 people today as the ancient Incans and the Mayans and the Aztecs did. We don't have that. They want that back. So what they do, they have to give us an idol because we have normalcy bias or willful ignorance or we're naive or we basically are stupid, I hate to say that, or we're ignorant or an optimist. Now, quite frankly, on the stupid part, they ain't watching the Hagman broadcast tonight. They don't listen to the Ted Nelson Brower show. They don't do it because they're too busy thinking all I need in life is a six-pack and a TV to watch the NFL and the Texas Cowboy cheerleaders. That's all I care about. As long as I've got my six pack and my TV, I'm good. And that's what they have in life. That's all they care about. And it doesn't matter what you try to do to educate them. They want the six pack and the TV, or they want their drug or their pot. I've got a friend of mine right now. He's a good friend. Known him for, 30 years. And he has a kid. He's about 30 years old. And the kid basically is a pot addict. He's a pot head. He's had, I can't even take job after job. I can't hold a job down. Always stoned. Gets up in the morning, gets stoned, goes to bed stoned, gets stoned in the afternoon, lives in a stupor, can't maintain a job. But my friend is an optimist, but he's not willfully ignorant, but he is an optimist. So he doesn't think there's anything wrong with his son. And when I ask him, does your son still smoke pot every day? His response is, I don't know. I don't want to know. Now, there's a reason I brought this up. A lot of people are like that right now. They know there's a problem, but they want to be in their normalcy bias and their willful ignorance, just pretend like it's going to go back to the way it used to be, like they won't lock us down anymore. They're not going to have more forced mandates. The masks are never going to come back. that I can go on a cruise ship without taking a kill shot. I can go to Europe without taking a kill shot. I want to be able to travel around the world and do what I want to do again without having to take a kill shot. Well, now they're being willfully ignorant. They could be optimistic because, quite frankly, once enough people do take the kill shot and we have a big enough population reduction in the planet, on the planet, they may allow us to have some of the quote-unquote God-given rights back, which they seem to have taken away from us. Okay. The problem we have now, there are two things. It's the Q movement and Donald Trump. Now, don't start fussing at me. If you fuss at me, I see you right now. Oh, here he goes again with that Q and that Trump stuff. No, listen to me. This is really important. Donald Trump is not your savior. Okay. Donald Trump called that rally on January the 6th. There are 400 or 500 people still under lockdown, still arrested, still awaiting trial, being charged with felonies because of this. Now the FBI is going in, and they can't do it with Hunter Biden, but they can do it with a group of patriots that went to D.C., and they're basically going through everybody's cell phone records. I'm talking about looking and listening to the recordings from the NSA of the cell phone conversations going back several months before the January 6th event. So they're trying to find more and more and more people to bring the net bigger and bigger and bigger on these people that are on the, quote, watch list. Guys, this is the United States that we currently live in. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of information on what happened back in 2020 with Donald Trump and what happened basically with this lockdown that we're in. And I want you to go ahead and listen to me without willful ignorance, without normalcy bias, without being naive, without being an optimist and without being ignorant, and just realize that just maybe we got a problem here. And if we keep pretending like we don't have a problem, we keep sticking our head in the metaphoric sand like the ostrich, this country's going to be lost. You know, Craig Paul Roberts writes some really good articles about this, and he calls it the insouciant Americans, the Americans that are just flipping, think everything's okay, and they're pretending like everything's happy, happy. And he's right about that. And that's what a lot of us have done, because we don't want to see what happened to our country to continue to happen to our country. But here's some of the timelines I want to share with you today. You got to look back at September the 9th, 2021, with Joe Biden, his executive order, the mandating vaccines for federal employees that he cited his authority, the nationwide public health emergency first declared by the Secretary of Health and Human Services on January the 31st, 2020 under Donald Trump. Donald Trump did this. Do you remember any of that one? Most of us don't, do we? Not me. I don't remember that. But we all remember March the 13th, 2020, but not January 31st. Well, that was kind of snuck in, wasn't it? If you dig a little bit deeper, you've discovered that when HHS Secretary Alex Azar executed it on January 31st, there were only 5 COVID deaths in the U.S., according to the CDC. Therefore, Azar had no healthcare-related basis for declaring a national health emergency. Also, for some reason, Azar was compelled, listen to this, to backdate the public health emergency by 5 days to January 27th. Why did he need to do that? Why did he have to retroactively go back in and backdate a public health emergency? And why was that all being done under Donald Trump? Did Donald Trump even know about it? Because he may not have. I'll be honest with you. He may not have known this even happened. But it all happened underneath Donald Trump. Well, here's why, in my opinion. On January the 28th, 2020, we find that the federal government indicted Harvard nanobiowarfare researcher, Dr. Charles Lieber, who, by the way, holds 66 U.S. patents in nanotechnology and basically nanotubules and the use of graphene oxide. Much of it is funded by Anthony Fauci and the NIH. There we go. So Lieber and Fauci worked together with the NIH to do all of this research while he was at Harvard. And the researchers now discovering that Lieber's nanoparticles are in the COVID-19 vials and in the basically shots that you're being injected with. As it happens, Charles Lieber's father, Robert I. Lieber, was a senior satellite specialist for the RCA Corporation, who received the David Snardoff Standing Achievement Award in Engineering in 62, and his work on the Aegis satellite system for the U.S. Navy is integral to the deployment of the 5G systems we have today, which are utilizing nanotubules and graphene oxide. Snardoff was a leading member of the quote-unquote group that came out of the Harvard area in which they were being given all of these different awards and basically grants.
Okay, wait a second. Don't go too fast now, because I want people to really understand this, folks. I've sunk my teeth in this really hard. Charles Lieber. Okay. Now, again, Charles Lieber, remember that name. He was indicted For doing what?
For basically selling. What they indicted him for, Doug, was working with a Chinese program as far as giving information on nanotubular research to the Chinese and basically exceeding his limits. But they indicted him for this. Okay.
And he was an associate, was of Fauci, right? Of NIH. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can go one step further, by way of, layers, Peter Daszak, Echo Alliance, Echo Health Alliance. So everything that's in play today kind of stems from the activities.
That.
Right.
That. Okay. Exactly. Let me finish. As it happens, Charles Lieber, you know, worked for RCA. Okay. And what ends up happening is this. McKibben says that by indicting Lieber, the Justice Department effectively shielded him. This is one of the guys who was doing the research on this, effectively shielded him from public scrutiny and questioning about his biowarfare activities in China just prior to the alleged Wuhan outbreak. He says that by backdating the national emergency to January 27th, 2020, which is the day before Lieber was indicted, based on only 5 COVID deaths one day before Lieber was indicted, that Secretary of Czar was able to protect Lieber under the cover of a global pandemic that he evidently knew was planned. He says they don't want to get him on the stand. Backdating federal judgments is fraudulent, unwinds all subsequent actions, including the fraudulent pretender Biden's latest executive order. This backdating and its interlocked frauds completely unwinds the COVID-19 nightmare that the groups of people in the Rothschild banking cartel have done to the American government and to the American people since late January of 2020. Their agenda is to implement medical genocide and their New World Order tyranny, also known as the Great Reset, on which Klaus Schwab says, you own nothing and you like it, has been completely obvious to any reasonable person who's not suffering from this. Why did this? Normalcy bias or willful ignorance. See, this is what's happening right now. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to let Trump off the hook with all of this stuff. And he's the one that did all of this stuff through his department, whether he knew about it or not, signed these orders, whether he knew what he was signing or not, I don't know. And he's still the one, listen to me, friends, that is pushing at his Trump rallies that everybody takes the nanotubule bioweapon injection. Trump's still doing that. Trump is also the same person who, through his daughter, who's a Kabbalist, pushed the red flag gun laws in the United States to all 50 states, and tried to force a national, basically, law through the 50 states and through all different states of having red flag gun laws so people could be arrested without due process, or maybe not arrested, but have their weapons seized. This is the same Donald Trump who did not pardon one person from January the 6th, who allowed all of those people to be dangling on the hook. He could have given a blanket pardon to that entire group that was there if he had wanted to, because he was president of the United States and chose not to do that. He's the same president who refused to go in and do what he could do from a presidential standpoint to basically cause a recount and to nullify the election, which he had the authority to do, especially if he'd gone through Pence. The problem with all of this stuff is that nobody wants to think that Donald Trump's involved in any of this stuff. The other day they had a big billboard down there in Georgia. Sharon got a picture of it, and it basically said, "And on his shoulders will rest the government." They're quoting scripture about Jesus, and they're putting a picture of Donald Trump behind the picture. And what ended up happening, it got such a blowback, they had to take the billboard down. We've created a messiah figure for Donald Trump that he's the one who's going to save us when we already have a messiah and his name is Jesus Christ. But yet we don't want to put our hope and our faith in Christ, and we don't want the pastors in the pulpit. Let me just stop. Let me fuss about this for a second. The pastors in the pulpit have refused to tell the truth of what's happened. Now, a lot of them, it could be because of normalcy bias or willful ignorance, or because they're naive or stupid or basically, you know, ignorant, or they're basically optimists to the point of being damaging to their own churches. When do you say to someone, you know, this is a lie? When do you say to your congregation, this is a lie? Let me tell you the timeline with Fauci. Let me tell you what they're doing with these vaccines. Let me warn you that if you take this vaccine, which is your right, that you're going to be injecting nanotubules into yourself, which could cause all kinds of health problems, with tens of thousands of people dead now all over the world from the vaccine, and all of these children and young men coming down with myocarditis, which has a 66% fatality rate within 5 years, and all of these young people dying from heart disease, which they never had any heart disease before. When do you tell your congregation, and at what point do you, how should I say this? I don't want to say something crude here, but I'm going to say it anyhow. When do you grow a set, pastor, if you're a guy, and say, look, we got a problem with what's happening here in the United States. You know, we got an issue right now with this shot. If you want to do it, but here are the reality. Here's the truth. Here's what's happening. We don't hear that. I went to my church a few months back. I haven't been back since. And the guy goes, oh, we're going to do an expose on Moses. I'm like, okay, well, I thought Moses was pretty cool. I mean, I watched the Ten Commandments with Yul Brynner. I thought it was a pretty cool show. I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and we'll watch, you know, we'll do it. We'll listen to Moses. And he goes, but we're going to do this expose for the next, you know, year. And, you know, I think to myself, well, I like Charlton Heston. I like the, you know, I like the story, but a year on Moses? Do I really want to talk about Moses, or do I want to talk about the fact that within 2 to 3 years, if the current trend doesn't change, there's going to be a high probability that these people in this church, about half of them are going to be dead. Maybe we need to talk about that. Oh, but I can't talk about that because we want to maintain our giving units and we want to make sure the church stays full because we got this giant sanctuary and we got to make payments on it. And so therefore we don't want people leaving. So we got to make sure that they're going to be here to give us their money and their tithe. Well, here's the problem with that, Pastor. What if they're dead? Oh, that's right. I guess you're going to get an inheritance thing from you because you want the people that are going to church when they inherit a little bit of money their parents may have had left to give 10% back to the church. Guys, church pastors, listen to me. This is twisted. You got to tell your sheep. You're the shepherd. If they're being eaten by a wolf and you're the shepherd and they're the sheep, you kind of need to tell them, hey, there's a wolf over here behind the bushes. Let me go expose the wolf so you guys don't get eaten. Or let me go kill this wolf. That'd be better. But they don't do that anymore. Now, why has this happened? Why has this happened to the Catholic Church? And why has this happened to the Protestant Church? Now, I don't want to hear the stories now that a lot of you don't think Catholics are saved or you think Catholics are saved. I don't want to get into that today. We're not going there. But what I will tell you is this. At one time back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s in the United States, the Catholic Church was a force to be reckoned with. It was. It was powerful. And they were having 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 children. I mean, it was a powerful, powerful political group. Not anymore. What happened to this? What happened to the Protestant churches and what happened to the Catholic churches? Well, back in the 30s and in the 40s, they started realizing the importance of, how should I say, advertising. It was under Bernays. And, you know, and one of the guys who really did this was Goebbels and Hitler. And he really, really admired Bernays. Now, Bernays was a Sabbatean Francis Caballus Luciferian. He was a cousin of Sigmund Freud, who thought that everybody had the hots for their mom and everybody had penis envy if they were a woman and all the other twisted stuff that cocaine addict said. And by the way, he was also a Satanist and a Sabbatean Francis Caballus Luciferian and studied from the Zohar, as did Bernays. So we got two Satanists running the advertising and the psychological world now. And basically, then Goebbels comes in and says, we're going to go ahead and start doing all of this public advertising and all of this propaganda to the German people to make them believe that we have super weapons and that Germany cannot be defeated and that we're going to basically run the world. Okay? So we have all this propaganda going on, going on, going on, going on. Well, in the United States now, the Frankfurt School had fled Frankfurt and Goethe University and come to the United States and infiltrated our colleges and universities. And they brought them with them through the, how should I say, immigration of communist Russians, thousands of people that were credentialed as professors who filtrated and went into the university systems throughout the United States to bring us cultural Marxism. Stay with me for a minute. I'm going to tie all this stuff together. Well, the cultural Marxists realized that they couldn't have Christianity, that they couldn't have a strong belief in Jesus Christ because they had seen a problem with Mother Russia when they took it over because of the Orthodox Russian Church. They could never get it to stick. So they had a much better job with China when they went in and paid for the revolution in China, the same banking cartels, and they realized that there was no Jesus in the aggregate in China, and they could pretty much go in and kill the Christians pretty easily and not have us dependent upon Christ and have a higher calling through the great I Am, through Jesus, His only Son, and our Lord. So they had to come into the United States because we had all of this Christianity in the United States. They had to create cultural Marxism and moral subversion. Now stay with me. Here's what happened in the Catholic Church. When Lucky Luciano went back and got out of jail to protect the ports of New York after the SS Normandy was sunk at its piers by a, quote, saboteur, and he was brought in, the OSS at that time started working with Lucky Luciano as far as the mafia engaged with the federal government. All this happened at once in the war. Now, what ended up happening after the war was over in China, with Mayo Sitong, they wanted to figure out how in the world these guys, and it may have been Mayo, it was the one before that, how they ended up having a million man standing army, and they wanted to know how they basically kept them, you know, fed and paid. Well, they found out they were doing it through opium and poppy production. Well, that was kind of interesting. Well, then the government with the CIA at this time got involved in running drugs out of Southeast Asia. And they had to find a way to launder that money. And because they were having billions of dollars coming in, and so they decided to go to the Vatican Bank. Well, they couldn't go to the Vatican Bank without causing problems because the Catholics said you couldn't be a member of a secret society or do all these illegal things. So they brought the Masonic lodges into the Catholic Church, which infiltrated the Catholic Church with their priests and their bishops and all the other people. And they started using these compromised individuals to run money and dope through the Vatican Bank and to the tune of trillions of dollars. Now, at the same time, because that wasn't good enough, they realized with their Masonic lackeys. Now, I'm going to say something. At the lowest level Masonic lodges, it's the first, second, third degree Masons, that kind of stuff, they don't have any idea what's going on. A lot of these guys are coming into this organization because they're doing it as a way to increase their business. They're doing it as a way to meet people and to network, okay? But when they get to that 30th degree and they walk into that doggone lodge now and it's been draped like a doggone mortuary, and suddenly there's a casket in the front and there's this dead guy who's really alive pretending like he's dead, and he says, who goes there? And they have to basically renounce all forms of religion except for this dedication to Lucifer. By the way, the guy in the casket is the guy who wrote the Zohar in 72 AD. Just thought I'd mention that.
Hold that thought, okay, because you bring an important point up here, folks, please. Stay with me here. I just have to break in for a very quick thing here. And I appreciate you talking about this because this is so important. You know, people do join these organizations and such to expand their business. And I get that. And when you look deeper, of course, this is what you find. But, when you mentioned about expanding your business, I just want to thank one of my few corporate sponsors, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you something very quickly, folks. Right now, they're, according to Forbes, you know, places like gyms and nail salons and hotel mom and pop stores and such, they're looking for people. Okay. They're on an epic hiring spree. They need to hire people to, handle their pent up demand for all of the services that are being required. You know, look, folks, I talked to a business owner this morning and he's saying, man, I just can't find it. I can't find the people I'm looking for. And we have just a ton of people applying, but none of them fit what we need. I gave him ziprecruiter.com/Hagman. All right. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, folks, business owners, listen to me. They send your job to over 100 top job sites. I'll get this out, I promise, giving you access to their network of millions of job seekers. ZipRecruiter's matching technology scans resumes and finds quality candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. This is easy. And if I can do it, and if the gentleman I was talking to, if he can do it, you can do it. If you own a business, you need people, here is your solution. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. This is the smartest way to hire. And I felt that was really important to point that out, given what Ted said. And folks, speaking of Ted and his healthmasters.com, please go to healthmasters.com. You have to keep yourself healthy. This is the last time I'm going to say this. Go to ZipRecruiter, but also go to healthmasters.com and order your supplements tonight. Do it tonight, please. I can't afford to lose listeners. I can't afford to lose viewers, right? Go to healthmasters.com and order your ultimate supplements, your B's, your C's, and by all means, your zinc and D3K2. Please do that for me. Again, I can't afford to lose listeners, viewers. There you go, healthmasters.com. And that's just a fantastic, an absolutely fantastic nutritional supplement, healthmasters.com. Ted, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought I would use that to interject this. That was my final point of the program. You've got the rest. Continue with that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah. Yeah, it was a great segue, Doug. But now let me share something else with you. This is really important because this is a point that I've never made on the show before. When these Masonic lodges started infiltrating the Catholic Church, they also infiltrated the Protestant Church. Now listen to me. This is really, really important. Right now we have tens of thousands of pastors right now in southeastern United States and the southern part of the country that are Baptist pastors that are also Masonic Lodge members. Now these aren't lay people in the church. These are pastors and they're Masons. Okay? You gotta get that. And that 30th degree, basically the guy who wrote the Zohar, the book of occult knowledge and how to raise people from the dead and witchcraft and sorcery and all the crazy stuff, all right? That book, you know, like Solomon's Book of the Dead and all the other things that were put together way back when, was a primer. The Zohar was 72 AD on the occult and on the Kabbalah, which is what Madonna practices. She wears that red string around her wrist. And all of these people in Hollywood who promote this type of teaching, they call it ancient Judaism, but it's not. It's the ancient Canaanite religions and ancient religions of Egypt all put together in one big giant satanic primer is what it is. Okay? So that guy in that casket for your 30th degree Masonic Lodge ritual, he's the guy who wrote that. Right? You got to swear allegiance to then the Masonic Lodges and the religion of the Masonic Lodge, which is under Lucifer. And of course, the Kabbalah is called the snake in a tree, Ein Sof. And so that's who you now apply and you're putting your hope and trust in. So if you're a low level Mason and you just got in, that's what you get to look forward to, which I'm being unbelievably facetious and I'm telling you, no, don't go, stop all of that. But now here's the problem. This Masonic Lodge group then back in the 30s and the 40s, they also infiltrated the Protestant churches. And they also had the new medium of radio and TV, the radio being brought to us by Tesla and the TV basically streaming these people's images into your house starting in the 50s and the 60s. And they brought us, oh gosh, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. They brought us TV evangelicals. All right. And a lot of these TV evangelicals are high level Masons. They're basically worshipers of Lucifer. Now I'm not saying all of them. But this week I really exposed a few of them on the show. I'm not going to do it on Doug's show. And these guys really believe that God, one of them in particular, he has said that God is a hermaphrodite. Well, that's exactly what they teach in the Zohar and in the Kabbalah, that God is both male and female. And this guy went as far as to say, and I read and quoted him on my show this week, that Adam was also a hermaphrodite. And that Adam and Jesus were identical, which makes Jesus an hermaphrodite. I can't make this stuff up. And this is a guy who claims to be a billionaire, TV evangelical, got a huge cult following. So this is all from the Masonic lodges and the infiltration of the United States Protestant and Catholic churches by the Masons. And when this happened, guys, it was a situation where, you know, we didn't even realize it was happening because, you know, a lot of people that were Masons basically were just, you know, like I said, there was business guys working together. This is at the highest levels, completely and totally satanic. So they have now, they're the ones who started the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups, who put the giant tents up, who built entire universities, not naming any names, who basically were high level Masons. And they've put this doctrine of devils, which is what it says in Timothy, in Latter-day some will follow demons and deceiving spirits and things taught by devils. And they'll believe what their itchy ears want to hear. And these are the guys who get on TV and they say, give me money and you'll be blessed. And they have taken this prosperity gospel to a point where they've copied what a guy by the name of Kenyon from the 1800s taught, that God is basically an hermaphrodite and is being promoted through all of Christianity right now with the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys and girls and the guys who get up on the platform and everything's happy, happy all the time. They never talk about forgiveness. They never talk about repentance. They never talk about changing your lifestyle. They don't. All they talk about is how blessed you're going to be when you follow their God.
And the Baphomet also is a hermaphrodite.
It's all tied together with the Kabbalah. And this is, and if people understand that, Doug, you start to understand why. And I've said this on my show 100 times. Don't support TV evangelists. You go, well, I don't agree with you for that, Ted. Okay. Then do what you want to do. Normalcy bias, willful ignorance. Are you naive? Are you ignorant? Are you just an optimist? Well, you don't know. They prayed for me one time on the TV. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm not going to say anything, because sometimes people are on TV and they're real. Okay. And they may have really prayed for you. I got that. Support your local church. I've worked with a lot of these TV evangelists before I knew better. I did. Some of them, I got over a million views with them, you know, being interviewed by them. And here's the problem with all that. You get behind the scenes. You get to see behind the curtain, so to speak. I remember one time a guy from a major network, he was the owner. He's dead now. He comes, I was out in California, and I flew out there to do a big TV show with him, and it was like a big interview with a bunch of medical people, and I was one of the people they were interviewing, and he walks out, he's drunk as a skunk. And we find out later he's also gay. I'm going to say that again. We find out later he's also gay, and he's drunk as a skunk. And he comes walking out, and he had bloodshot eyes, reeking of alcohol, and he says to us, the physicians out on the stage, and the naturopaths, and the doctors, and the MDs, and the chiropractors, my eyes are all bloodshot. What can I do? Just mocking us. Because he's drunk. His wife was a complete and total lush, slept with everybody she could find. And oh, by the way, I saw him walk out on the platform. I was standing there, and he was reeking of alcohol. This isn't hearsay. And guys, listen to me. I've seen so much stuff from these TV evangelists that I can't even tell you it's that bad. I've seen them involved with murder, gun running, prostitution. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm telling you, I've seen behind the scenes. And the fact is, it's bad. It's because this was basically infiltrated by the Masonic lodges at the highest levels. These people got the nod. Some of them now claim to be billionaires. My question always is this. How in the world do you generate billions and billions of dollars? How do you have a fleet of jets? How are you able to do all this? Oh, that's right. They're a 501(c) corporation. Isn't that right? That means they don't have to pay any income tax on anything. That means if they buy a plane, they don't have to worry about depreciation schedules. They don't have to pay any income tax anyhow. So they keep all the stuff and all the assets of the corporation. That's the 501(c) corporation. As long as they do the bidding and don't put politics into the pulpit, and they stay out of government stuff. Remember Johnson, who was a total weird pervert? Lyndon Johnson? I can tell you stories about that guy. He's the one who pushed the Johnson Amendment through because he didn't want the politics and the pulpit being commingled any longer. This is back down in the 50s, like 70 years ago.
Because he was losing in Texas. Because he was losing in Texas, and that's why he did that.
Yeah, go ahead. He was a filthy, filthy, filthy pervert, and he wanted them to stop talking about him. The last chance that we had, and you guys can go ahead and get mad at me. I don't care. I don't think it'll happen on the Hagman Show. The last chance that we had, and we've got to bring it back again, to stop this mess was Joseph McCarthy back in the 50s when he started calling out Hollywood for being the Kabbalist communist scum they were and saying who they were, what they believed, and what they were trying to do to support the United States. We had a really good chance. We had a lot of momentum back then because the United States was still trying to be a righteous Christian country. We had just fought World War II, and we had beaten fascism. But we had allowed communists to put its roots into Europe. You know, what did Patton say? We had fought the wrong people, and he was killed quickly after that. He said we should have gone after the Bolsheviks and gotten rid of communism because he knew they were this group of people that were being run by the Kabbalists and the Luciferians. Stalin was another Satanist. This guy used to say, if I can't kill 15,000 people a day, I'm having a bad day. I mean, this guy was nuts, and he killed millions and millions and millions of Christians. And anybody who stood against him, he went out and killed his own farmers because they didn't want to give them all their stuff and all their goods. And then the whole country started starving to death because nobody knew how to grow anything. That's what communism is. And that was all funded for and paid for by the Rothschild banking cartel. Always remember, go back and do the research on this. And guys, we've got to understand they infiltrated Christianity. And they're the ones who brought us the Christian TV evangelicals, the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys and girls. We're there to do everything they possibly can to not teach you repentance, not teach you on the Word of God, not teach you who Jesus is. They're taught to take the crosses out of their churches. How many TV evangelists do you see with crosses behind them? Why don't you take a look? You'll see very few, if any, because they're told not to do that. Why? Because it's not about Jesus. It's about how much money they can generate. It's about this name it, claim it, blab it group running Christianity. And that's why the Christian churches have lost their power and their authority. Because they've been infiltrated, and it started back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and it's continued this very day. Doug, what do you think?
Pretty much right on the money. You know, and people have to, I want people to understand and know that, you know, what Ted's saying here is not, this is not an indictment on, rather than me tell you what it's not on. This is an indictment on those people who are engaged in deliberate deception, using you, us, because I'm going to put myself in that category. They're going to attempt to sway us through this massive deception. You know, it's Christians who are keeping people from becoming Christians in a sense.
It's the truth. It is.
Not everybody, and it's hard to paint with this, with a broad brush like this, but you're absolutely right. So when you start disassembling, taking apart, as you would in an investigation, the different components, the different facets, and you, Ted Brower, you were there on the stages, sharing stages with many of these people, as you spoke of. So, you know, you would know better than anyone else. This is not secondhand information. You were there. So, I think that you're right on the target, right on the money. And also,
I've seen it.
So people have to understand about the Kabbalah and the Zohar. The Zohar is a subset text of an important text of the, Kabbalah. So it's all combined into one. And this is more of I don't want to say Hebrew roots, but if you're into Hebrew roots, there's a lineage line in that gets into that occultish type of, stuff. So just be very careful with all of this. Go ahead and continue. That's what I think. Go ahead and continue.
Well, no, you're right, Doug. And there's nothing wrong with the Torah. Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, you know, Deuteronomy. Genesis. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I love the Torah. I study out of it all the time. It gives us the ideals of what we should do. I mean, in the book, it doesn't give us the 10 suggestions. It gives us the 10 commandments, you know, but then God goes on and tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, if you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to live longer, you're going to prosper. If you don't, you're going to die of these horrible diseases and be broke. Pretty much is what he says. And then he says, okay, you can choose life, you can choose death. And he gives you the cliff notes. And he goes, okay, choose life. Because he's God. He understands what happens with freedom of will, but he wants the people to be blessed in all the areas of their life, including their health. It's like this. I said this on yesterday's show. You know, the Bible tells you not to eat pork. Okay. Now, a lot of you who are listening right now, you go, well, I'm going to eat pork. If you tell me not to, I don't care. Well, okay. I don't care if you eat pork. It's your choice. It really is. You're not going to go to hell if you eat pork. You're just going to get to heaven a whole lot quicker. The World Health Organization has said that eating a pork is the number one cause of cancer globally. Okay. Are you going to keep eating pork? Your choice, isn't it? You choose life. You choose death. You choose whatever you want to do. One of these principles in the Old Testament, they don't get broken. They don't get changed. There were four Old Testament precepts. God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the dietary laws, and the sanitary laws. When God came, he sent Jesus to us. He forever changed God's relationship to man and man's relationship to man, but he didn't change the sanitary laws or the dietary laws. They were never changed. He said, well, you can pray over and eat it. Yeah, but that's not what the Bible infers. It basically says that, you know, if you pray over and eat it, what it's saying is you can pray over and eat foods that are considered clean by law of the Old Testament, by Broma, B-R-O-M-A, if I remember how it's spelled, which means laws that have been, foods that have been sanctified according to Levitical law. Look up the Greek. So if you eat foods that are sanctified according to Levitical law and you pray over them and eat them, you consider them clean. But if you try to pray over a pig, how can you pig over something that's already been cursed? Pray over a pig. Why would you do that? If you know that sodium nitrite in bologna or luncheon meats or bacon reacts with stomach acid to form nitrosamines, and it's one of the most potent effective agents known to man for producing malignant intestinal tumors and stomach cancer, colon rectal cancer, and you've got colon rectal cancer in your family, why would you eat nitrites? Why would you eat luncheon meat that has that in them? If you want to get some bacon that doesn't have it, go to the grocery store and get some clean bacon, some turkey bacon that doesn't have any sodium nitrite in it, some health food bacon, and eat that. It tastes pretty good. But the reality is, it's not going to poison your colon and destroy you. So this is the thing we've got to understand. This is why when we started Health Masters 41 years ago now, you know, we started the company because we wanted to help people get what they want out of life, and that was health. It really is. And that's why we produce the highest quality supplements you can make. And you guys, by supporting Health Masters, by getting your toothpaste or your deodorant or your multiple vitamins from us, you support broadcasts like this, like the Hagman Show and the Ted and Austin Brower Show. And if you just do those simple things like get your toothpaste from us or your multiple vitamin from us, it changes everything. Then we can help fund all these different broadcasts that we know are telling the truth. So I want to thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. And by the way, if you're a listener of our show on a regular basis. I pray for you even on an occasional basis. I pray for you every single day, and I ask that God blesses you and that he keeps you and he allows your face to shine upon you and he's gracious unto you and he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, companionship, goals, focus, direction, and a long life and really good health. I pray that every single day because I want you guys to be blessed in all the areas of your life. But guys, the normalcy bias now, the willful ignorance, all of these different things we talked about today, I want to make an effort for you to understand that it's time to wake up. You're in a burning building. You know, somebody needs to come get you out if you're asleep. You can't pretend like the building's going to not burn if you're in the middle of it and it's full of smoke. You got to get out. There's certain things you need to do, like get up and run out the door. You can't pretend like it's going to go back to normal and the building's not going to be on fire. You'll get a good night's sleep because there's a high probability you're going to be burned up and die. So don't allow yourself to do that. Don't be like my friend who, I know the vaccine is bad. I know it has nanotubules. I know there's a much higher death rate associated with the vaccine than not taking the vaccine. I know all these horrible things, but I'm going to take it anyhow, and then I want you to pray for me so that it doesn't kill me. That's willful ignorance, guys. That's all I can say. And I don't want you to be that way. I want you to guys to have life and have it in abundance because you're going to be awake and tell people the truth, Doug. What do you think?
In the 3.5 minutes we have left, Ted, tell me what's the objective here, the big push behind the jab here by the celebrities, by Hollywood, by the politicians, by the globalists? What's the big push for this? What's the end game here, just so everyone is clear?
Well, it's the Kabbalists who run the planet. There are about 200,000 of them, and they want a population reduction. They don't want us to be here. Look at the Georgia Guidestones.
Yeah.
And they want a massive population reduction. Their stated goal is 500 million. Ted Turner said that. A lot of them have said that in the past. So they want about a 7.5 billion death count. And so if they can't get it with this first set of jabs, what they're doing is they're sterilizing the young girls and the infants in their mother's wombs and by not producing eggs. And what happens is this. Let's say a woman is pregnant, and we know that this death shot attacks the ovaries, basically prevents them producing eggs. We know that. So if a woman's pregnant, there's a high probability that the girl inside of her will never be able to have children and won't produce any eggs. But here's what people don't understand, that when a human being is formed, they initially start off in a female form, and then the testosterone from the Y chromosome changes that, and the ovaries become testicles. The clitoris becomes a penis, and all these different sexual secondary sex characteristics. You go from a right brain dominated hemisphere female brain to a left brain dominated male brain. So what ends up happening is when you take the kill shot and you have a child in you, or you give this to a child, it attacks their ovaries and the ovaries become the testicles. So it attacks their testicles, which probably prevents them from having children, because their entire goal here is to create an hermaphroditic human species, because they believe that's the closest expression of their snake god. That's what they want. And so that's why they're doing this. So they know that if they don't kill you all on the initial shot, that this next generation will not be able to reproduce, and we're going to have a massive die-off of the planet over the next 40 to 50 years as they continue to force more and more vaccines on us to kill more and more people until they reach their stated goal, in which they can have people raised in test tubes, which is what they want, and have a worker class, a bee class, that you run out little worker bees, that you can have a group of people that are going to be working on machines, and they can completely control the outcome. We're in the middle of a giant genetic experiment like we were in Genesis chapter 6 when God had enough and flushed the toilet, which had become the earth. And remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, so shall it be upon my return. Guys, it's getting really close. I spoke to a friend of mine. They've got a mother who's been in some seriously weird lifestyle choices their entire life. The mother's old and feeble now. And I said, look, you need to really talk to your mother about, you know, her lifestyle choices and make sure she's saved. Because that's the most important thing, that we all accept Jesus Christ and we try to walk circumspectly with the Most High God. What do you think, Doug?
Amen. Ted, I can't believe how quickly this hour went. The information download that you provided, I think, is key. People are looking for a condensed version of really what's going on. I think you provided it in the form of, is it normalcy bias or is it willful ignorance? And what's the difference? And I think you did a great job. And I appreciate this. So with that, folks, and again, I would urge everyone to go to healthmasters.com. Please do this and listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. If you like what you heard today, you're going to love the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. So please do that, and please get your nutritional supplements from Health Masters. God bless you, my friend, Ted. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks so much.
All right, folks, that'll do it for me today. We're in day 111 here of an investigation that's taking up a lot of time, 24/7, and a lot of resources. Please keep us in your prayers. Keep Rusty Azar in your prayers and his team and our teams as we work together for a resolution. May God bless each and every one of you. Have a great weekend. Welcome to Hagman. This is Hagman for today. It is Friday. It is the 24th day of September 2021. And just, hey, folks, if you've been watching this, of course, the audit in Maricopa County, it's shown that the audit has had, or the Maricopa County had more than enough voter fraud to for the state legislature to decertify the election. As simple as that. What else? You know, I mean, look, so did Pennsylvania, in my view. No audits yet. So did all of the swing states had enough votes to overturn this election. If you think that Mr. Marbles won this election, well, you're either engaged in normalcy bias or willful ignorance. And if you think, for example, that this vax passport is the answer to getting back to normal, again, what is it? Willful ignorance or normalcy bias? And is there a difference? Here to talk about this and more is Dr. Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. That's healthmasters.com. Go there. Stay healthy. Stay healthy. Look, hey, you know what? Right now, okay, listen to me. Pull up a chair. If you're driving, slow down a minute, all right, and just put your ear to the speaker. No, not if you're driving. If you're say what? Oh, yes, my DeLorean, as we were talking about earlier. Not my DeLorean. I don't have one, but nonetheless, put your ear up. If you're driving the DeLorean, just take a listen. And even if you're not, which you're probably not, still listen. Healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. That's the key to your health, your vitality. You know, it's one thing to be healthy. It's another thing to be vibrant, vibrantly healthy. And I found the difference in the Health Masters. All right. That's my story. And I'm sticking to it. And you know, sometimes I kind of drift off in mental thought or in thought. What? Physical thought? No, mental thought. Yeah. I drift off. And, attention factor. What a great product. I just want to mention that because that's one of my favorite products. And that really kind of keeps you key and keep you focused on things. Products of the week, but you know, look what they have. Immune support. Support your immune system. With all this, these bugs going on out there, support your immune system. Support your own health. You are responsible for your own health. I'm not. I can't help you except to direct you to healthmasters.com. Healthmasters.com. Doug5, I believe, might be the coupon code. If not, well, so deal with it. But if it is, great. DOUG and the number 5. And I'm being serious about this now. Their products are, fantastic. The top of the line products. And if you can get certain products on sale through Doug5 coupon code, that'd be great. But, if not, still order. And that's healthmasters.com. And also while you're there, listen to the Premier Father Son Investigative, reporting informational download hour on the internet. Just go on the right-hand side, click the blue link to the radio program, and you can listen to Ted and Austin Brewer and listen to the archives. Dig down for the archives, and it's really a great show. So information download. All right, so without further ado, Ted Brewer, healthmasters.com. And the question at hand, is it normalcy bias or is it willful ignorance of people? Or is there a difference? Ted, how you doing?
Hey, Doug, I'm doing great. You know, it's so funny because – you know, Harrison, my youngest son, is in his third year of law school at Florida State. He's got a few more months and he's done. And so today we were discussing normalcy bias and he started saying to me, well, Dad, is it naivety? Is it normalcy bias? Is it being an optimist or is it willful ignorance? And, you know, I want to add a couple more things to that list. normalcy bias, willful ignorance? Are you naive or are you just stupid? I hate to say that because that's like, you know, you really can't understand stuff. Or are you basically ignorant, which means you're just simply not educated? Or are you simply an optimist? You know, an optimist will say to you, the hotel room's on fire, let's get out so we can live. Pessimist says, hotel room's on fire, let's try to get out because we're going to die. All right. So you've got to look at what's going on and who these people are and what they believe and how the United States demographic spreads out as far as what percentage of each of these groups are available in the United States today. Let me give you a perfect example. Years and years and years ago, close to 50 years ago now, 46 years ago or whatever it was, I had a friend of mine in college. I met her in a German class. Well, you know, we're both in our 60s now. She's a grandmother. She's got a great husband and great grandkids and great children. And, you know, I'm a granddad now with grandchildren. And I'm a grandfather with a great wife. And I've been married for 38 years almost. And we ran into each other via a tree service here locally that was basically her cousin. And so I actually got back in touch with her. And she's come by the house to our birthday parties. And she's hung out with me and Sharon. And she's a really good friend. I really like her. Not going to use any names because I don't want to offend her in case she hears this particular show. And she listened to our show like completely all the time for, you know, a year. And then all the stuff happened with COVID, and she started listening to the show. And then we started talking about the vaccine and how it was basically a kill shot, not a true vaccine. And we started talking about the nanotubules in it that pretty much Charles Lieber put together through DARPA and through the information that he had from his dad and also from Harvard, and how these nanotubules are built out of graphene oxide, and how you're going to have a huge percentage of people die from the shots, and how they cause antibody, you know, dependent enhancement, and all this other stuff that we talk about all the time. And all of a sudden, you know, she texted me about one day about something, and I said, well, you're still not taking the shot, right? She goes, oh no, I've already had the shot and I've already had the booster. Now, hence, we're going to talk about this right now. Okay. And then she said to me, she goes, I want you to pray for me that the shot doesn't kill me. And I said to her,
the irony.
No. This is, I'm not making this. Sometimes you think you want to make stuff up, but my life is so, I should say, colorful to make anything up. And I said to her, I said, I don't know how to pray that. She goes, what do you mean? And I said, how do you willfully do something that you know is wrong that could possibly kill you, and then ask God to suspend judgment and not allow you to die, though you did it to yourself on purpose? It's kind of like stepping out in front of a semi-truck at 70 miles an hour and saying, I don't believe that I'm going to die right now, and giving that semi-truck about 6 inches to stop, and you're going to find yourself, probably if you're a Christian, sitting in heaven with God shaking his head and going to say, what the heck, what's wrong with you? Why did you just do that? And yet you're going, but I didn't think I would die. And I said, let's talk about this. And so what I did with her is I said to her, I said, I don't know how to pray for you. She texted me back, what do you mean? You know, you pray all the time. And I said, you'll need to write the prayer. And I'll pray whatever you want me to pray over you because I don't know how to pray. And that's what we're going to talk about right now. What do you do with somebody that you know knows the truth, but they do what they know they shouldn't do regardless of the consequences? But
hold that thought. Let me give you another subset of that if you don't mind.
I'd love to.
Okay, so these are we're talking about people, and perhaps two people who have taken this injection, which they call a vaccine, which it's not. Now, I believe there is a subset here who have taken it in good faith, thinking, okay, I can trust, you know, I did my research, and the research was limited to, you know, the scientific, in quotation marks, evidence pushed by the algorithms on the internet, as opposed to the real research with people like you've done. So they took it, and then they were confronted with the real evidence, and it's like, whoops, okay, wait a minute, I made a terrible, horrible mistake. It's kind of like having that regret when you jump off the 40th floor of a building, and you're thinking in that fall, hey, you know, man, I think I might have made the wrong decision. What do you do? Not much, except, you know, prepare, brace for impact. So go ahead, sir.
You know what's up? No, we're here. I turned it off so I wouldn't be huffing and puffing and you guys wouldn't hear my mic. Okay, let's break this down. Normalcy bias. You want to believe the United States or the lifestyle that we've had here in the United States is going to continue forever, and it's going to go back to the way it was with Norman Rockwell's America. Saturday Evening Post, And we've got all these beautiful paintings and drawings that Norman Rockwell did, and they put on the Saturday Evening Post, which are still collector items today, of what the ideal is in America today. Now, whether Norman Rockwell was true or not, I don't know. This is back in the 30s and the 40s. I was born in the 50s, and we didn't have a Norman Rockwell America in the 50s. Just thought I'd mention that, but it was still pretty close. You could still leave your house and not lock your doors. We could still basically go down the driveway and go down the road and go play touch or tackle football with the neighbors and not worry about being abducted and sold to a child sex trafficking ring. Okay, we had a lot of people still Christians. The Catholic Church still had a lot of power in the United States. Protestantism had a lot of power in the United States. And TV was the amazing Talking Mr. Ed and Hogan's Heroes and I Dream of Jeannie. Okay, and so we were all like pretty naive at that point in our lives, and we didn't have all of these crazy special interest groups trying to push special rights. And that's normalcy bias. I want Andy of Mayberry back. And I wanted to go back now, okay? That's normalcy bias. Now, we're going to have naivety. You basically are, you know, believing that it's going to be okay, and you're naive, and you believe the federal government is doing what they need to do, and you really don't know any difference. And then you got the people that are just unable to create concrete rational thoughts, okay? These are the people that they brought in from, how should I say, Somalia into Germany. And the average IQ score, I think, was a 56. And they didn't know how to flush toilets. And they never had seen a toilet before. And it doesn't matter how much they tried to train them at the factories at BMW and Mercedes. They could not run complex machinery because they simply didn't have the IQ points or the reasoning skills to do that. Those people at this point get a pass. They really can't help it. These are the people who have Down syndrome, the people that have really bad brain damage, or they've been damaged from vaccines or whatever. But they're going to have to get a pass. They always get a pass because they can't be made to understand what's happening to them. They can't. There's no way about that. Then you have the ignorant. Now, these are the people that are not stupid, but they're just, how should I say, they're not well-read. You know, they don't know what a semi-permeable membrane is. They don't know what graphene oxide is. They don't know what a self-assembling nanobot is. But they have the ability to learn if you give them the literature. And then you have the optimists that no matter what happens, they're always going to be happy, happy, regardless. I've got a friend of mine right now, and he's in the hospital, and short of a miracle, he will die. And you think, well, that's an awful thing to say. Well, it's just is what it is. Now, his wife, every time you talk to her and you say to her, this is terrible. We've got 1 in 32 children now with autism in the United States because of the danger of vaccines and the mercury and the fetal cells and all the stuff that's in a vaccine and is causing all of this brain damage. She pulls a Kamala Harris and she starts laughing hysterically like a hyena. And you go, we're talking about brain damaged children with autism. Why are you laughing? Well, I just think it's funny. And I don't think it's true. You go, okay. Well, then you give her another version. You say, well, the Bible tells us in the book of Revelation, a third of the people are going to die or whatever's going to happen when this occurs. And she starts laughing. And she says, well, I hope it happens quick and I'm not going to be around. It's a joke. Everything's a joke. And you start realizing that it doesn't matter what you try to do with that person, that they're being willfully ignorant. This is beyond being optimistic. It's beyond normalcy bias. They don't want to know the truth. They're being willfully ignorant. Let me give you a perfect example. In my own family, I'm not going to mention any names. We had a man had a child, and the child got involved with drugs, and the man refused to see the fact that the child was on drugs. Refused. Absolutely, completely refused. It was Sharon's, my wife's brother, was on the drugs. And I tried to tell, you know, Sharon's dad all the time, he's on drugs, he's on drugs, he's on drugs. Nothing. Willfully ignorant. He's an optimist, but he's also being willfully ignorant because he doesn't believe that it's going to be what he thinks it's going to be as far as bad if it happens. So therefore we have to think good all the time. Now, another thing happens to parents, and this is really important that we understand this. And it also happens to people that have been married and divorced or have raised children or whatever. Is you look back in your life and you have regret. What if I'd have done this? I should have done this. I could have done this. And so what you do, let's take a child, for instance. You know, you have a child that you do everything you possibly can for, and that child basically doesn't want to listen. And so you're always talking to the child and you're always saying, well, I should have done this and I would have done this and I could have done this. And all of a sudden the child starts to realize that you're now having a dissociation. You've created a fantasy child in your mind that doesn't exist, that would have, should have, and could have, created. Well, the child doesn't see that as any form of reality. And see, this is what my father-in-law did. You know, this kid basically was the greatest thing since sliced bread. This kid, always what he could have and should have and would have been. You know, this man had done what he should have and would have and could have done. Hey, but he could never accept that.
I'll bet you that he was the smartest person, smartest young man that he ever knew. I'm paraphrasing, of course, Mr. Marvel's Joe Biden.
I will say that this kid was a National Merit Scholarship recipient. And he had a genius IQ. I will say that unlike Mr. Marbles and this Hunter Biden who likes to rape little girls, this kid really was smart. But it didn't matter. Academically smart doesn't mean you got any kind of reasoning skills. And this is what we have in life, isn't it? We're always having the would'ves and the should'ves and the could'ves. Now, I did all of this to discuss with you something I'm going to discuss with you about a guy by the name of Charles Lieber who developed the nanotechnology and the self-assembling nanobots from the graphene oxide. That's in the kill shots, because nobody wants to look at this. Now, why do I bring this up? I bring it up because the only person that we should hold on a pedestal is the author, the finisher, and the perfecter of our faith, Christ Jesus. God Almighty, who's omnipresent. Let me explain to you what that means in the way I understand it. He says, I'm the Alpha and I'm the Omega. I'm the beginning and I am the end. Okay. So when God looks down at our earth, he doesn't see it as 2021. He sees everything at the same time. He's outside of time space. So when he sees it happening, like in the book of Revelation, when he tells John on the Isle of Patmos to write this down, because this is what's happening right now in my world, John on the Isle of Patmos writes down and says, hey, we're going to have a mark of a beast, 666, can't buy, sell, or trade. Write it down, John, because I see it happening in 2021, 2025. So John writes it down. So suddenly we come up to this timeline and God goes, yep, yeah, I knew it was going to happen. So God sees the timeline and he realizes that there's issues in the timeline. He basically does what he does with Noah and he also does what he does with Jesus and he basically changes the timeline. But again, the fallen angels, a third of which were thrown out of heaven with their attempted coup d'etat on God Almighty, the great I am, come back in and they're before the flood and after the flood with Noah. They start doing their same junk again with all of the fallen angels and all of the worship of Baal and Asherah and Moloch. So these things can have entities, these entities can eat from the sacrifice of these children and these people and these ancient Canaanite religions and ancient Egyptian religions. And God says, okay, that's just awful. Let's go ahead and put somebody else in the timeline. So he puts himself in via Jesus Christ, the exact representation of God Almighty, to deliver us from the evil one who's doing all of this mischief and these horrible, crazy things. Okay. Well, for 2,000 years, we've had the ability now to live in a world that we don't have idolatry on the street corners. We may have hookers on the street corners, but we don't have idolatry in that we don't have places that they're sacrificing humans in the backyard, and we're all having to watch this in giant congregations and aggregations of people getting together and saying, hey, look at this. We're killing 500 people today as the ancient Incans and the Mayans and the Aztecs did. We don't have that. They want that back. So what they do, they have to give us an idol because we have normalcy bias or willful ignorance or we're naive or we basically are stupid, I hate to say that, or we're ignorant or an optimist. Now, quite frankly, on the stupid part, they ain't watching the Hagman broadcast tonight. They don't listen to the Ted Nelson Brower show. They don't do it because they're too busy thinking all I need in life is a six-pack and a TV to watch the NFL and the Texas Cowboy cheerleaders. That's all I care about. As long as I've got my six pack and my TV, I'm good. And that's what they have in life. That's all they care about. And it doesn't matter what you try to do to educate them. They want the six pack and the TV, or they want their drug or their pot. I've got a friend of mine right now. He's a good friend. Known him for, 30 years. And he has a kid. He's about 30 years old. And the kid basically is a pot addict. He's a pot head. He's had, I can't even take job after job. I can't hold a job down. Always stoned. Gets up in the morning, gets stoned, goes to bed stoned, gets stoned in the afternoon, lives in a stupor, can't maintain a job. But my friend is an optimist, but he's not willfully ignorant, but he is an optimist. So he doesn't think there's anything wrong with his son. And when I ask him, does your son still smoke pot every day, his response is, I don't know. I don't want to know. Now, there's a reason I brought this up. A lot of people are like that right now. They know there's a problem, but they want to be in their normalcy bias and their willful ignorance, just pretend like it's going to go back to the way it used to be, like they won't lock us down anymore. They're not going to have more forced mandates. The masks are never going to come back. That I can go on a cruise ship without taking a kill shot. I can go to Europe without taking a kill shot. I want to be able to travel around the world and do what I want to do again without having to take a kill shot. Well, now they're being willfully ignorant, and they could be optimistic because, quite frankly, once enough people do take the kill shot and we have a big enough population reduction in the planet, on the planet, they may allow us to have some of the quote-unquote God-given rights back, which they seem to have taken away from us. Okay. The problem we have now, there are two things. It's the Q movement and Donald Trump. Now, don't start fussing at me. If you fuss at me, I see you right now. Oh, here he goes again with that Q and that Trump stuff. No, listen to me. This is really important. Donald Trump is not your savior. Okay. Donald Trump called that rally on January the 6th. There are 400 or 500 people still under lockdown, still arrested, still awaiting trial, being charged with felonies because of this. Now the FBI is going in, and they can't do it with Hunter Biden, but they can do it with a group of patriots that went to D.C., and they're basically going through everybody's cell phone records. I'm talking about looking and listening to the recordings from the NSA of the cell phone conversations going back several months before the January 6th event. So they're trying to find more and more and more people to bring the net bigger and bigger and bigger on these people that are on the, quote, watch list. Guys, this is the United States that we currently live in. Now, I'm going to give you a little bit of information on what happened back in 2020 with Donald Trump and what happened basically with this lockdown that we're in. And I want you to go ahead and listen to me without willful ignorance, without normalcy bias, without being naive, without being an optimist and without being ignorant, and just realize that just maybe we got a problem here. And if we keep pretending like we don't have a problem, we keep sticking our head in the metaphoric sand like the ostrich, this country's going to be lost. You know, Craig Paul Roberts writes some really good articles about this, and he calls it the insouciant Americans, the Americans that are just flipping, think everything's okay, and they're pretending like everything's happy, happy. And he's right about that. And that's what a lot of us have done, because we don't want to see what happened to our country to continue to happen to our country. But here's some of the timelines I want to share with you today. You got to look back at September the 9th, 2021, with Joe Biden, his executive order, the mandating vaccines for federal employees that he cited his authority, the nationwide public health emergency first declared by the Secretary of Health and Human Services on January the 31st, 2020 under Donald Trump. Donald Trump did this. Do you remember any of that one? Most of us don't, do we? Not me. I don't remember that. But we all remember March the 13th, 2020, but not January 31st. Well, that was kind of snuck in, wasn't it? If you dig a little bit deeper, you've discovered that when HHS Secretary Alex Azar executed it on January 31st, there were only 5 COVID deaths in the U.S., according to the CDC. Therefore, Azar had no healthcare-related basis for declaring a national health emergency. Also, for some reason, Azar was compelled, listen to this, to backdate the public health emergency by 5 days to January 27th. Why did he need to do that? Why did he have to retroactively go back in and backdate a public health emergency? And why was that all being done under Donald Trump? Did Donald Trump even know about it? Because he may not have. I'll be honest with you. He may not have known this even happened. But it all happened underneath Donald Trump. Well, here's why, in my opinion. On January the 28th, 2020, we find that the federal government indicted Harvard nanobiowarfare researcher, Dr. Charles Lieber, who, by the way, holds 66 U.S. patents in nanotechnology and basically nanotubules and the use of graphene oxide. Much of it is funded by Anthony Fauci and the NIH. There we go. So Lieber and Fauci worked together with the NIH to do all of this research while he was at Harvard. And the researchers now discovering that Lieber's nanoparticles are in the COVID-19 vials and in the basically shots that you're being injected with. As it happens, Charles Lieber's father, Robert I. Lieber, was a senior satellite specialist for the RCA Corporation, who received the David Sarnoff Standing Achievement Award in Engineering in 62, and his work on the Aegis satellite system for the U.S. Navy is integral to the deployment of the 5G systems we have today, which are utilizing nanotubules and graphene oxide. Sarnoff was a leading member of the quote unquote group that came out of the Harvard area in which they were being given all of these different awards and basically grants.
Okay, wait a second. Don't go too fast now because I want people to really understand this, folks. I've sunk my teeth in this really hard. Charles Lieber. Okay. Now, again, Charles Lieber, remember that name. He was indicted for doing what?
For basically selling. What they indicted him for, Doug, was working with a Chinese program as far as giving information on nanotubular research to the Chinese and basically exceeding his limits. But they indicted him for this. Okay.
And he was an associate, was of Fauci, right? Of NIH. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we can go one step further, by way of, layers, Peter Daszak,
that's right.
Echo Health Alliance. So everything that's in play today kind of stems from the activities.
That.
Right.
That. Okay. Exactly. Let me finish. As it happens, Charles Lieber, you know, worked for RCA. Okay. And what ends up happening is this. McKibben says that by indicting Lieber, the Justice Department effectively shielded him. This is one of the guys who was doing the research on this, effectively shielded him from public scrutiny and questioning about his biowarfare activities in China just prior to the alleged Wuhan outbreak. He says that by backdating the national emergency to January 27th, 2020, which is the day before Lieber was indicted, based on only 5 COVID deaths one day before Lieber was indicted, that Secretary of Czar was able to protect Lieber under the cover of a global pandemic that he evidently knew was planned. He says they don't want to get him on the stand. Backdating federal judgments is fraudulent, unwinds all subsequent actions, including the fraudulent pretender Biden's latest executive order. This backdating and its interlocked frauds completely unwinds the COVID-19 nightmare that the groups of people in the Rothschild banking cartel have done to the American government and to the American people since late January of 2020. Their agenda is to implement medical genocide and their New World Order tyranny, also known as the Great Reset, on which Klaus Schwab says, you own nothing and you like it, has been completely obvious to any reasonable person who's not suffering from this. Why did this? Normalcy bias or willful ignorance. See, this is what's happening right now. So what we're trying to do is we're trying to let Trump off the hook with all of this stuff. And he's the one that did all of this stuff through his department, whether he knew about it or not, signed these orders, whether he knew what he was signing or not, I don't know. And he's still the one, listen to me, friends, that is pushing at his Trump rallies that everybody takes the nanotubule bioweapon injection. Trump's still doing that. Trump is also the same person who, through his daughter, who's a Kabbalist, pushed the red flag gun laws in the United States to all 50 states, and tried to force a national, basically, law through the 50 states and through all different states of having red flag gun laws so people could be arrested without due process, or maybe not arrested, but have their weapons seized. This is the same Donald Trump who did not pardon one person from January the 6th, who allowed all of those people to be dangling on the hook. He could have given a blanket pardon to that entire group that was there if he had wanted to, because he was president of the United States and chose not to do that. He's the same president who refused to go in and do what he could do from a presidential standpoint to basically cause a recount and to nullify the election, which he had the authority to do, especially if he'd gone through Pence. The problem with all of this stuff is that nobody wants to think that Donald Trump's involved in any of this stuff. The other day they had a big billboard down there in Georgia. Sharon got a picture of it. And it basically said, and on his shoulders will rest the government. They're quoting scripture about Jesus, and they're putting a picture of Donald Trump behind the picture. And what ended up happening, it got such a blowback, they had to take the billboard down. We've created a messiah figure for Donald Trump that he's the one who's going to save us when we already have a messiah and his name is Jesus Christ. But yet we don't want to put our hope and our faith in Christ, and we don't want the pastors in the pulpit. Let me just stop. Let me fuss about this for a second. The pastors in the pulpit have refused to tell the truth of what's happened. Now, a lot of them, it could be because of normalcy bias or willful ignorance, or because they're naive or stupid or basically, you know, ignorant, or they're basically optimists to the point of being damaging to their own churches. When do you say to someone, you know, this is a lie? When do you say to your congregation, this is a lie? Let me tell you the timeline with Fauci. Let me tell you what they're doing with these vaccines. Let me warn you that if you take this vaccine, which is your right, that you're going to be injecting nanotubules tubules into yourself, which could cause all kinds of health problems, with tens of thousands of people dead now all over the world from the vaccine, and all of these children and young men coming out with myocarditis, which has a 66% fatality rate within 5 years, and all of these young people dying from heart disease, which they never had any heart disease before. When do you tell your congregation, and at what point do you, how should I say this? I don't want to say something crude here, but I'm going to say it anyhow. When do you grow a set, pastor, if you're a guy, and say, look, we got a problem with what's happening here in the United States. You know, we got an issue right now with this shot. If you want to do it, but here are the reality. Here's the truth. Here's what's happening. We don't hear that. I went to my church a few months back, and I haven't been back since, and the guy goes, oh, we're going to do an expose on Moses. I'm like, okay, well, I thought Moses was pretty cool. I mean, I watched the Ten Commandments with Yul Brynner. I thought it was a pretty cool show. I thought, you know, I'll go ahead and we'll watch, you know, we'll do it. We'll listen to Moses. And he goes, but we're going to do this expose for the next, you know, year. And, you know, I think to myself, well, I like Charlton Heston. I like the, you know, I like the story, but a year on Moses? Do I really want to talk about Moses, or do I want to talk about the fact that within 2 to 3 years, if the current trend doesn't change, there's going to be a high probability that these people in this church, about half of them, are going to be dead. Maybe we need to talk about that. Oh, but I can't talk about that because we want to maintain our giving units, and we want to make sure the church stays full because we got this giant sanctuary and we got to make payments on it. And so therefore we don't want people leaving. So we got to make sure that they're going to be here to give us their money and their tithe. Well, here's the problem with that, pastor. What if they're dead? Oh, that's right. I guess you're going to get an inheritance thing from you because you want the people that are going to church when they inherit a little bit of money their parents may have had left to give 10% back to the church. Guys, church pastors, listen to me. This is twisted. You got to tell your sheep. You're the shepherd. If they're being eaten by a wolf and you're the shepherd and they're the sheep, you kind of need to tell them, hey, there's a wolf over there behind the bushes. Let me go expose the wolf so you guys don't get eaten. Or let me go kill this wolf. That'd be better. But they don't do that anymore. Now, why has this happened? Why has this happened to the Catholic Church? And why has this happened to the Protestant Church? Now, I don't want to hear the stories now that a lot of you don't think Catholics are saved or you think Catholics are saved. I don't want to get into that today. We're not going there. But what I will tell you is this. At one time back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s in the United States, the Catholic Church was a force to be reckoned with. It was. It was powerful. And they were having 4, 5, 6, 8, 10 children. I mean, it was a powerful, powerful political group. Not anymore. What happened to this? What happened to the Protestant churches and what happened to the Catholic churches? Well, back in the 30s and in the 40s, they started realizing the importance of, how should I say, advertising. It was under Bernays. And, you know, and one of the guys who really did this was Goebbels and Hitler. And he really, really admired Bernays. Now, Bernays was a Sabbatean Francis Caballus Luciferian. He was a cousin of Sigmund Freud, who thought that everybody had the hots for their mom and everybody had penis envy if they were a woman, and all the other twisted stuff that cocaine addict said. And by the way, he was also a Satanist and a Sabbatean Francis Caballus Luciferian and studied from the Zohar, as did Bernays. So we got two Satanists running the advertising and the psychological world now. And basically, then Goebbels comes in and says, we're going to go ahead and start doing all of this public advertising and all of this propaganda to the German people to make them believe that we have super weapons and that Germany cannot be defeated and that we're going to basically run the world. Okay? So we have all this propaganda going on, going on, going on, going on. Well, in the United States now, the Frankfurt School had fled Frankfurt and Goethe University and come to the United States and infiltrated our colleges and universities. And they brought them with them through the, how should I say, immigration of communist Russians, thousands of people that were credentialed as professors who filtrated and went into the university systems throughout the United States to bring us cultural Marxism. Stay with me for a minute. I'm going to tie all this stuff together. Well, the cultural Marxists realized that they couldn't have Christianity, that they couldn't have a strong belief in Jesus Christ because they had seen a problem with Mother Russia when they took it over because of the Orthodox Russian Church. They could never get it to stick. So they had a much better job with China when they went in and paid for the revolution in China, the same banking cartels, and they realized that there was no Jesus in the aggregate in China, and they could pretty much go in and kill the Christians pretty easily and not have us dependent upon Christ and have a higher calling through the great I Am, through Jesus, His only Son and our Lord. So they had to come into the United States because we had all of this Christianity in the United States. They had to create cultural Marxism and moral subversion. Now stay with me. here's what happened in the Catholic Church. When Lucky Luciano went back and got out of jail to protect the ports of New York after the SS Normandy was sunk at its piers by a, quote, saboteur, and he was brought in, the OSS at that time started working with Lucky Luciano as far as the mafia engaged with the federal government. All this happened at once in the war. Now, what ended up happening after the war was over in China with Mao Zedong, they wanted to figure out how in the world these guys, and it was the one before that, how they ended up having a million-man standing army, and they wanted to know how they basically kept them, you know, fed and paid. Well, they found out they were doing it through opium and poppy production. Well, that was kind of interesting. Well, then the government with the CIA at this time got involved in running drugs out of Southeast Asia. And they had to find a way to launder that money, and because they were having billions of dollars coming in, and so they decided to go to the Vatican Bank. Well, they couldn't go to the Vatican Bank without causing problems, because the Catholics said you couldn't be a member of a secret society or do all these illegal things. So they brought the Masonic lodges into the Catholic Church, which infiltrated the Catholic Church with their priests and their bishops and all the other people, and they started using these compromised individuals to run money and dope through the Vatican Bank and to the tune of trillions of dollars. Now, at the same time, because that wasn't good enough, they realized with their Masonic lackeys. Now, I'm going to say something. At the lowest level Masonic lodges, at the first, second, third degree Masons, that kind of stuff, they don't have any idea what's going on. A lot of these guys are coming into this organization because they're doing it as a way to increase their business. They're doing it as a way to meet people and to network, okay? But when they get to that 30th degree and they walk into that doggone lodge now, and it's been draped like a doggone mortuary, and suddenly there's a casket in the front, and there's this dead guy who's really alive, pretending like he's dead, and he says, who goes there? And they have to basically renounce all forms of religion except for this dedication to Lucifer. By the way, the guy in the casket is the guy who wrote the Zohar in 72 AD. Just thought I'd mention that.
Hold that thought, okay, because you bring an important point up here, folks. Please stay with me here. I just have to break in for a very quick thing here. And I appreciate you talking about this, because this is so important. You know, people do join these organizations and such to expand their business. And I get that. And when you look deeper, of course, this is what you find. But, when you mentioned about expanding your business, I just want to thank one of my few corporate sponsors, ZipRecruiter, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. I'm going to tell you something very quickly, folks. Right now, they're, according to Forbes, you know, places like gyms and nail salons and hotel mom and pop stores and such, they're looking for people. Okay. They're on an epic hiring spree. They need to hire people to, handle their pent up demand for all of the services that are being required. You know, look, folks, I talked to a business owner this morning, and he's saying, man, I just can't find it. I can't find the people I'm looking for. And we have just a ton of people applying, but none of them fit what we need. I gave him ziprecruiter.com/Hagman. All right. When you post a job on ZipRecruiter, folks, business owners, listen to me. They send your job over to over 100 top job sites. I'll get this out, I promise, giving you access to their network of millions of job seekers. ZipRecruiter's matching technology scans resumes and finds quality candidates for your open roles and proactively presents them to you. This is easy. And if I can do it, and if the gentleman I was talking to, if he can do it, you can do it. If you own a business, you need people, here is your solution. ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Right now, you can try ZipRecruiter for free at this exclusive web address, ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman, H-A-G-M-A-N-N. That's ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. Just go to ZipRecruiter.com/Hagman. This is the smartest way to hire. And I felt that was really important to point that out, given what Ted said. And the folks, speaking of Ted and his healthmasters.com, please go to healthmasters.com. You have to keep yourself healthy. This is the last time I'm going to say this. Go to ZipRecruiter, but also go to healthmasters.com and order your supplements tonight. Do it tonight, please. I can't afford to lose listeners. I can't afford to lose viewers, right? go to healthmasters.com and order your multiple supplements, your B's, your C's, and by all means, your zinc and D3K2. Please do that for me. Again, I can't afford to lose listeners, viewers. There you go, healthmasters.com. And that's just a fantastic, an absolute fantastic nutritional supplement, healthmasters.com. Ted, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I thought I would use that to interject this. That was my final point of the program. You've got the rest. Continue with that. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, it was a great segue, Doug. But now let me share something else with that. This is really important because this is a point that I've never made on the show before. When these Masonic lodges started infiltrating the Catholic Church, they also infiltrated the Protestant Church. Now listen to me. This is really, really important. Right now we have tens of thousands of pastors right now in southeastern United States and the southern part of the country that are Baptist pastors that are also Masonic Lodge members. Now these aren't lay people in the church. These are pastors and they're Masons. Okay? You gotta get that. And that 30th degree, basically the guy who wrote the Zohar, the book of occult knowledge and how to raise people from the dead and witchcraft and sorcery and all the crazy stuff, all right? That book, you know, like Solomon's Book of the Dead and all the other things that were put together way back when, was a primer. The Zohar was 72 AD on the occult and on the Kabbalah, which is what Madonna practices. She wears that red string around her wrist. And all of these people in Hollywood who promote this type of teaching, they call it ancient Judaism, but it's not. It's the ancient Canaanite religions and ancient religions of Egypt all put together in one big giant satanic primer is what it is. Okay? So that guy in that casket for your 30th degree Masonic Lodge ritual, he's the guy who wrote that. Right? You got to swear allegiance to then the Masonic Lodges and the religion of the Masonic Lodge, which is under Lucifer. And of course, the Kabbalah is called the snake in a tree, Ein Sof. And so that's who you now apply and you're putting your hope and trust in. So if you're a low level Mason and you just got in, that's what you get to look forward to, which I'm being unbelievably facetious and I'm telling you, no, don't go, stop all of that. But now here's the problem. This Masonic Lodge group then back in the 30s and the 40s, they also infiltrated the Protestant churches. And they also had the new medium of radio and TV, the radio being brought to us by Tesla and the TV basically streaming these people's images into your house starting in the 50s and the 60s. And they brought us, oh gosh, I shouldn't say this, but I'm going to say it. They brought us TV evangelicals. All right. And a lot of these TV evangelicals are high level Masons. They're basically worshipers of Lucifer. Now I'm not saying all of them. This week I really exposed a few of them on the show. I'm not going to do it on Doug's show. And these guys really believe that God, one of them in particular, he has said that God is a hermaphrodite. Well, that's exactly what they teach in the Zohar and in the Kabbalah, that God is both male and female. And this guy went as far as to say, and I read and quoted him on my show this week, that Adam was also a hermaphrodite. And that Adam and Jesus were identical, which makes Jesus an hermaphrodite. I can't make this stuff up. And this is a guy who claims to be a billionaire, TV evangelical, got a huge cult following. So this is all from the Masonic lodges and the infiltration of the United States Protestant and Catholic churches by the Masons. And when this happened, guys, it was a situation where, you know, we didn't even realize it was happening because, you know, a lot of people that were Masons basically were just, you know, like I said, there was business guys working together. This is at the highest levels, completely and totally satanic. So they have now, they're the ones who started the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it groups, who put the giant tents up, who built entire universities, not naming any names, who basically were high level Masons. And they've put this doctrine of devils, which is what it says in Timothy, in Latter-day some will follow demons and deceiving spirits and things taught by devils. And they'll believe what their itchy ears want to hear. And these are the guys who get on TV and they say, give me money and you'll be blessed. And they have taken this prosperity gospel to a point where they've copied what a guy by the name of Kenyon from the 1800s taught, that God is basically an hermaphrodite and is being promoted through all of Christianity right now with the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys and girls and the guys who get up on the platform and everything's happy, happy all the time. They never talk about forgiveness. They never talk about repentance. They never talk about changing your lifestyle. They don't. All they talk about is how blessed you're going to be when you follow their God.
And the Baphomet also is a hermaphrodite.
It's all tied together with the Kabbalah. And this is, and if people understand that, Doug, you start to understand why. And I've said this on my show 100 times. Don't support TV evangelists. You go, well, I don't agree with you for that, Ted. Okay. Then do what you want to do. Normalcy bias, willful ignorance. Are you naive? Are you ignorant? Are you just an optimist? Well, you don't know. They prayed for me one time on the TV. Okay. All right. You know what? I'm not gonna say anything, because sometimes people are on TV and they're real, okay? And they may have really prayed for you. I got that. Support your local church. I've worked with a lot of these TV evangelists before I knew better. I did. Some of them, I got over a million views with them, you know, being interviewed by them. And here's the problem with all that. You get behind the scenes. You get to see behind the curtain, so to speak. I remember one time a guy from a major network. He was the owner. He's dead now. He was out in California. I flew out there to do a big TV show with him, and it was like a big interview with a bunch of medical people. And I was one of the people they were interviewing. And he walks out. He's drunk as a skunk. And we find out later he's also gay. I'm going to say that again. We find out later he's also gay, and he's drunk as a skunk. And he comes walking out, and he had bloodshot eyes, reeking of alcohol. And he says to us, the physicians out on the stage and the naturopaths and the doctors and the MDs and the chiropractors, my eyes are all bloodshot. What can I do? Just mocking us. Because he's drunk. His wife was a complete and total lush, slept with everybody she could find. And oh, by the way, I saw him walk out on the platform. I was standing there and he was reeking of alcohol. This isn't hearsay. And guys, listen to me. I've seen so much stuff from these TV evangelists that I can't even tell you it's that bad. I've seen them involved with murder, gun running, prostitution. The list goes on and on and on. And I'm telling you, I've seen behind the scenes. And the fact is, it's bad. It's because this was basically infiltrated by the Masonic lodges at the highest levels. These people got the nod. Some of them now claim to be billionaires. My question always this. How in the world did you generate billions and billions of dollars? How do you have a fleet of jets? How were you able to do all this? Oh, that's right. They're a 501(c) corporation. Isn't that right? That means they don't have to pay any income tax on anything. That means if they buy a plane, they don't have to worry about depreciation schedules. They don't have to pay any income tax anyhow. So they keep all the stuff and all the assets of the corporation. That's the 501(c) corporation. As long as they do the bidding and don't put politics into the pulpit, and they stay out of government stuff. Remember Johnson, who was a total weird pervert? Lyndon Johnson? I can tell you stories about that guy. He's the one who pushed the Johnson Amendment through because he didn't want the politics and the pulpit being commingled any longer. This is back down in the 50s, like 70 years ago.
Because he was losing in Texas. Because he was losing in Texas, and that's why he did that.
Yeah, he was a filthy, filthy, filthy pervert, and he wanted them to stop talking about him. The last chance that we had, and you guys can go ahead and get mad at me. I don't care. I don't think it'll happen on the Hagman Show. The last chance that we had, and we've got to bring it back again, to stop this mess was Joseph McCarthy back in the 50s when he started calling out Hollywood for being the Kabbalist communist scum they were and saying who they were, what they believed, and what they were trying to do to support the United States. We had a really good chance. We had a lot of momentum back then because the United States was still trying to be a righteous Christian country. We had just fought World War II, and we had beaten fascism. But we had allowed communists to put its roots into Europe. You know, what did Patton say? We had fought the wrong people, and he was killed quickly after that. He said we should have gone after the Bolsheviks and gotten rid of communism because he knew they were this group of people that were being run by the Kabbalists and the Luciferians. Stalin was another Satanist. This guy used to say, if I can't kill 15,000 people a day, I'm having a bad day. I mean, this guy was nuts, and he killed millions and millions and millions of Christians. And anybody who stood against him, he went out and killed his own farmers because they didn't want to give them all their stuff and all their goods. And then the whole country started starving to death because nobody knew how to grow anything. That's what communism is. And that was all funded for and paid for by the Rothschild banking cartel. Always remember, go back and do the research on this. And guys, we've got to understand they infiltrated Christianity, and they're the ones who brought us to Christian TV evangelicals, the name it, claim it, blab it, grab it boys and girls, who are there to do everything they possibly can to not teach you repentance, not teach you on the Word of God, not teach you who Jesus is. They're taught to take the crosses out of their churches. How many TV evangelists do you see with crosses behind them? Why don't you take a look? You'll see very few, if any, because they're told not to do that. Why? Because it's not about Jesus. It's about how much money they can generate. It's about this name and claim and blabbing group running Christianity. And that's why the Christian churches have lost their power and their authority, because they've been infiltrated. And it started back in the 40s and the 50s and the 60s, and it's continuing this very day. Doug, what do you think?
Pretty much right on the money. You know, and people have to, I want people to understand and know that, you know, what Ted's saying here is not, this is not an indictment on, rather me tell you what it's not on. This is an indictment on those people who are engaged in deliberate deception, using you, us, because I'm going to put myself in that category. They're going to attempt to sway us through this massive deception. You know, it's Christians who are keeping people from becoming Christians. In a sense,
it's the truth. It is.
Not everybody, and it's hard to paint with a broad brush like this. But you're absolutely right. So when you start disassembling, taking apart, as you would in an investigation, the different components, the different facets, and you, Ted Brower, you were there on the stages, sharing stages with many of these people, as you spoke of. So, you know, you would know better than anyone else. This is not secondhand information. You were there. So, I think that you're right on the target, right on the money. And also,
I've seen it.
So people have to understand about the Kabbalah and the Zohar. The Zohar is a subset text of an important text of the Kabbalah. So it's all combined into one. And this is more of I don't want to say Hebrew roots, but if you're into Hebrew roots, there's a lineage line in that gets into that occultish type of stuff. So just be very careful with all of this. Go ahead and continue. That's what I think. Go ahead and continue.
Well, no, you're right, Doug. And there's nothing wrong with the Torah, Leviticus, Exodus, Numbers, you know, Deuteronomy. I mean, Genesis. I mean, there's nothing wrong with that. I love the Torah. I study out it all the time. It gives us the ideals of what we should do. I mean, in the book, it doesn't give us the 10 suggestions. It gives us the 10 commandments, you know, but then God goes on and tells us in the book of Deuteronomy, he says, if you do what I'm telling you to do, you're going to live longer, you're going to prosper. If you don't, you're going to die of these horrible diseases and be broke. Pretty much is what he says. And then he says, okay, you can choose life, you can choose death. And he gives you the cliff notes and he goes, okay, choose life. Because he's God. He understands what happens with freedom of will, but he wants the people to be blessed in all the areas of their life, including their health. It's like this. I said this on yesterday's show. You know, the Bible tells you not to eat pork. Okay. Now, a lot of you who are listening right now, you go, well, I'm going to eat pork. If you tell me not to, I don't care. Well, okay. I don't care if you eat pork. It's your choice. It really is. You're not going to go to hell if you eat pork. You're just going to get to heaven a whole lot quicker. The World Health Organization has said that eating a pork is the number one cause of cancer globally. Okay. Are you going to keep eating pork? Your choice, isn't it? You choose life. You choose death. You choose whatever you want to do. One of these principles in the Old Testament, they don't get broken. They don't get changed. There were four Old Testament precepts. God's relationship to man, man's relationship to man, the dietary laws, and the sanitary laws. When God came and he sent Jesus to us, he forever changed God's relationship to man and man's relationship to man, but he didn't change the sanitary laws or the dietary laws. They were never changed. He said, well, you can pray over and eat it. Yeah, but that's not what the Bible infers. It basically says that, you know, if you pray over and eat it, what it's saying is you can pray over and eat foods that are considered clean by law of the Old Testament, by Broma, B-R-O-M-A, if I remember how it's spelled, which means laws that have been, foods that have been sanctified according to Levitical law. Look up the Greek. So if you eat foods that are sanctified according to Levitical law and you pray over them and eat them, you consider them clean. But if you try to pray over a pig, how can you pig over something that's already been cursed? Pray over a pig. Why would you do that? If you know that sodium nitrite in bologna or luncheon meats or bacon reacts with stomach acid to form nitrosamines, and it's one of the most potent effective agents known to man for producing malignant intestinal tumors and stomach cancer, colon rectal cancer, you got colon rectal cancer in your family, why would you eat nitrites? Why would you eat luncheon meat that has that in them? If you want to get some bacon that doesn't have it, go to the grocery store and get some clean bacon, some turkey bacon that doesn't have any sodium nitrite in it, some health food bacon, and eat that. It tastes pretty good. But the reality is, it's not going to poison your colon and destroy you. So this is the thing we've got to understand. This is why when we started Health Masters 41 years ago now, you know, we started the company because we wanted to help people get what they want out of life, and that was health. It really is. And that's why we produce the highest quality supplements you can make. And you guys, by supporting Health Pastors, by getting your toothpaste or your deodorant or your multiple vitamins from us, you support broadcasts like this, like the Hagman Show and the Ted and Austin Brower Show. And if you just do those simple things like get your toothpaste from us or your multiple vitamin from us, it changes everything. Then we can help fund all these different broadcasts that we know are telling the truth. So I want to thank you for that from the bottom of my heart. And by the way, if you're a listener of our show on a regular basis, I pray for you even on an occasional basis. I pray for you every single day, and I ask that God blesses you and that he keeps you and he allows your face to shine upon you and he's gracious unto you and he grants you grace, mercy, peace, love, prosperity, companionship, goals, focus, direction, and a long life and really good health. I pray that every single day because I want you guys to be blessed in all the areas of your life. But guys, the normalcy bias now, the willful ignorance, all of these different things we talked about today, I want to make an effort for you to understand that it's time to wake up. You're in a burning building. You know, somebody needs to come get you out if you're asleep. You can't pretend like the building's going to not burn if you're in the middle of it and it's full of smoke. You got to get out. There's certain things you need to do, like get up and run out the door. You can't pretend like it's going to go back to normal and the building's not going to be on fire. You'll get a good night's sleep because there's a high probability you're going to be burned up and die. So don't allow yourself to do that. Don't be like my friend who, I know the vaccine is bad. I know it has nanotubules. I know there's a much higher death rate associated with the vaccine than not taking the vaccine. I know all these horrible things, but I'm going to take it anyhow, and then I want you to pray for me so that it doesn't kill me. That's willful ignorance, guys. That's all I can say. And I don't want you to be that way. I want you guys to have life and have it in abundance because you're going to be awake and tell people the truth, Doug. What do you think?
In the 3.5 minutes we have left, Ted, tell me what's the objective here, the big push behind the jab here by the celebrities, by Hollywood, by the politicians, by the globalists? What's the big push for this? What's the end game here, just so everyone is clear?
Well, it's the Kabbalists who run the planet. There are about 200,000 of them, and they want a population reduction. They don't want us to be here. Look at the Georgia Guidestones. Yeah. And they want a massive population reduction. Their stated goal is 500 million. Ted Turner said that. A lot of them have said that in the past. So they want about a 7.5 billion death count. And so if they can't get it with this first set of jabs, what they're doing is they're sterilizing the young girls and the infants in their mother's wombs and by not producing eggs. And what happens is this. Let's say a woman is pregnant, and we know that this death shot attacks the ovaries, basically prevents them producing eggs. We know that. So if a woman's pregnant, there's a high probability that the girl inside of her will never be able to have children and won't produce any eggs. But here's what people don't understand, that when a human being is formed, they initially start off in a female form, and then the testosterone from the Y chromosome changes that, and the ovaries become testicles. The clitoris becomes a penis and all these different sexual secondary sex characteristics. You go from a right brain dominated hemisphere female brain to a left brain dominated male brain. So what ends up happening is when you take the kill shot and you have a child in you or you give this to a child, it attacks their ovaries and the ovaries become the testicles. So it attacks their testicles, which probably prevents them from having children because their entire goal here is to create an hermaphroditic human species because they believe that's the closest expression of their snake god. That's what they want. And so that's why they're doing this. So they know that if they don't kill you all on the initial shot, that this next generation will not be able to reproduce and we're going to have a massive die-off of the planet over the next 40 to 50 years as they continue to force more and more vaccines on us to kill more and more people until they reach their stated goal, in which they can have people raised in test tubes, which is what they want, and have a worker class, a bee class that you run out of little worker bees, that you can have a group of people that are going to be working on machines, and they can completely control the outcome. We're in the middle of a giant genetic experiment like we were in Genesis chapter 6 when God had enough and flushed the toilet, which had become the earth. And remember what Jesus said? Jesus said, as it was in the days of Noah, Genesis chapter 6, so shall it be upon my return. Guys, it's getting really close. I spoke to a friend of mine. They've got a mother who's been in some seriously weird lifestyle choices their entire life. The mother's old and feeble now. And I said, look, you need to really talk to your mother about, you know, her lifestyle choices and make sure she's saved. Because that's the most important thing, that we all accept Jesus Christ and we try to walk circumspectly with the Most High God. What do you think, Doug?
Amen. Ted, I can't believe how quickly this hour went. The information download that you provided, I think, is key. People are looking for a condensed version of really what's going on. I think you provided it in the form of, you know, is it normalcy bias or is it willful ignorance? And what's the difference? And I think you did a great job. And I appreciate this. So with that, folks, and again, I would urge everyone to go to healthmasters.com. Please do this and listen to the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. If you like what you heard today, you're going to love the Ted and Austin Brewer Show. So please do that, and please get your nutritional supplements from Health Masters. God bless you, my friend, Ted. Thank you so very much.
Thank you, Doug. Thanks so much.
All right, folks, that'll do it for me today. We're in day 111 here of an investigation that's taking up a lot of time, 24/7, and a lot of resources. Please keep us in your prayers. Keep Rusty Azar in your prayers and his team and our teams. As we work together for a resolution, may God bless each and every one of you. Have a great weekend.